Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
My talk today was about choice. However, as it took shape, I realise it's also about our continual learning to understand the true message of Jesus so that we can achieve the transformation that only he can give. Let me start by saying how blessed I am with a 14-year-old grandson who knows absolutely everything. No matter what studying I've done, no matter what qualifications I've achieved, I do not know a fraction of what he knows. He has the internet and Wikipedia, so apparently feels it is his duty to not just question me, but to correct me when he thinks I am wrong. Some of you may also have a genius like this in your families, and I wonder if there's any here today. I will explain. Recently, as restrictions had eased, we'd managed a long weekend in Edinburgh with our eldest son, his wife, and two grandchildren, who all currently actually live in Saudi Arabia. I was looking forward to seeing them, obviously, but I found I spent a lot of the time being questioned about my understanding of theology and my interpretations of Bible scripture by said 14-year-old. I felt I was having a 5-day oral examination and I was ready for a rest when I got home. However, my grandson was interested in my faith, which he hasn't been brought up in. He was interested in how my views are shaped through the Bible. And what he did do was confirm my belief that whenever we read the same Bible passages, our interpretation will always be somewhat different. But who is to say which is right and which is wrong? It does make a good starting point for discussing various passages with others to look beyond our own blinkers and expectations. I had to explain to said grandson that the definition of theology is the study of the nature of God and religious belief. But I do not confess today to be a good theologian or a natural theologian, just like Ned is or others are, despite many years of learning. However, you do not have to be a scholar to be reminded, as in today's gospel, the invitations and the journeys we can discover within scripture, and especially the transformation that it offers. I have to say my grandson was satisfied I had benefited from his advice and wisdom. Bless him. Now, I can laugh and dismiss everything my grandson had said. I mean, he's only 14, isn't he? So when I think about it, was Jesus actually speaking through him? Was there a message for me to come off my high theological horse? And that's not easy to say. But to listen more carefully and consider another possibly simplistic view. Oh, and by the way, I hear he started praying for things that he wants now, and I'm just hoping in time he'll learn to pray for others. I don't think he's grasped that concept yet. My occupational or working background does still feel much more simplistic than theology. I was in nursing, then health and safety, which are both really black and white. In nursing, basically, if it was full, empty it. If it was empty, fill it. In health and safety, it either complied with legislation or it didn't. For me, studying the Bible and interpreting the messages it contains in our context of today can be much more complex. But at the end of the day, what matters is the understanding we gain and the choices we make or don't make through those messages. Taken literally, Scripture can and does create a tension between the message of the world of yesterday and the world of today. Now, by tension, I mean, when things don't seem to agree. Just as we can be both saints and sinners. And when there are contrasts in understanding. Looking at the verses heard from the Gospel of John, we can see straight away the tension between how the words of Jesus were received when he spoke them 2,000 years ago in the synagogue at Capernaum, and how we receive those words today. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. In Capernaum, these words challenge the fundamental beliefs of those listening. At that time, many had seen Jesus feed the 5,000 and heard his words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Many saw him perform many acts of healing, performing miracles and teaching. They thought Jesus to be a great teacher and spiritual advisor. But they were now taking his words literally. And they heard, "Come and munch on me, have a bite." They thought they had to eat his flesh and top it off with a cup of his blood, when the literal drinking of blood was taboo and not a pleasant thought for me at all. However, John originally wrote this gospel in ancient Greek, and I understand there are many forms of the verb to eat, and the closest modern translation is to gnaw or to chew, just as we describe the actions of an animal. When we can understand the beliefs of those days, we can better understand how savage the words sounded and how they were guaranteed to get a strong reaction. But they offered a choice. What we have today that they didn't have then is the knowledge of the gift of the crucifixion, the salvation of the resurrection, and the promise of eternal life through the ascension. Our teaching is that Jesus is the source of life, and it is our way, our traditions based on the teachings within the Bible, that we celebrate the Eucharist, we share in Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ. However, it's not all plain sailing with the Eucharist, as there are tensions even within this because of different traditions and different teaching. Thinking about when we do celebrate the Eucharist, are we taking it as a gift offered? Are we really receiving a blessing? Or are we actually sharing in the Eucharist as the body of Christ? To others, although it's offered, they may not wish to accept it. This morning's service is not celebrating the Eucharist. That will be later today. Though there are some who do not wish to attend a service without having it offered. No doubt you have your own thoughts and views, but who is to judge who is right and who is wrong? Perhaps that's a whole new sermon. When the bread and wine are consecrated, they can take on a different meaning. To some, they believe that the bread and wine are turned into the living body of Christ. To others, they believe that the bread and wine are symbolic. And yet, to others, there is nothing symbolic about what they are being part of, but that it is a ritual they are used to being part of on a Sunday or whatever day it is. The plural of discipleship is church, and that together we make up the body of Christ. We make up the body of the church and the body of Christ, and whether the Eucharist is symbolic or ritual, the mystery of the Eucharist, the mystery of the bread and wine, are really being turned into our spiritual food. And it is our choice whether to receive it, dependent on our own understanding, our learning, and our unique beliefs. But are we making the right choice? It was also the choice of the disciples in Capernaum when they heard Jesus offer himself for eternal life. Some found his teaching too difficult, and they started to complain. And it sounds like Jesus was surprised or astonished or just frustrated when he asked them if his teaching offended them. And yet the passage also tells us that from the very first, Jesus already knew that some did not truly believe. So why did he ask them when he already knew? Was it just to get them to admit it to themselves? The heart of these passages are possibly verses 62 and 63, which mentions two things: the ascension of Jesus and the Spirit. The reference to the ascension is teaching that Jesus is equally at home in heaven as on earth. He is the Word made flesh, so we can understand that his flesh and his blood are part of the inner life of Jesus, of the Word, that the flesh contains the life of God. Jesus is urging his followers to go beyond a one-dimensional understanding of what he is doing and saying, for us to listen carefully to the Word within the flesh. That this is possible by the Spirit and not possible without. And many of his followers remained in disbelief and left. Only the 12 remained, and when asked by Jesus if they wished also to go away, Simon Peter responded with the words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." They were prepared to say this out loud and to acknowledge that Jesus, as the Messiah, was not only speaking about God's new age, the age to come, but by his words he was already bringing it into existence. Those 12 disciples were transformed into the representatives of the faith and belief that Jesus was looking for. The recognition that through his words and deeds, Jesus was bringing into being a new exodus, a great movement to free the whole world from sin and death. When we hear this, the complexities of Scripture disappear. The messages become black and white, so that through the Spirit we can believe, or we will be like those who turned away in disbelief. Chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew describes the calling of the first disciples and evangelism, which was at the heart of Jesus' call, just as it is today. We all have a personal invitation from God. Accepting this invitation means that through the Spirit, we are being transformed into more representatives of faith and belief, to discipleship. The difference being between the first disciples and ourselves is learning to live the way of Jesus in our context at this moment. Teresa of Avila said, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no feet, no hands but yours." Christ is alive today through us and the larger body of his followers across the world. Christ feeds the hungry, cares for the sick through our hands. Christ's love is manifest in how we love one another. We are his hands, his feet, his heart. We are responding to his evangelism. One thing that really struck me about Jim's sermon last week was beyond the words he spoke. What I could see and hear was how the Gospel of John had impacted on him. It wasn't one-dimensional, but something that was living and breathing in him. And this is transformation. This is how it works through us all. We are the ongoing incarnation, the flesh and blood of the body of Christ alive today. So with all disciples everywhere, when asked if we want to stay or go, we can all respond to Jesus, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know you are the Holy One of God. As we said at the start of this service, we come as we are. We will leave changed by the love of God. Amen.